year. Welcome to 808s and Ankle Breaks, the hip-hop and basketball-based podcast. I'm Jonathan Kerma, entertainment editor of the Amherst Wire, and Moogatunes editorial intern. And with me is...
Trevor Wilson, co-host of the show, and a writer for the Amherst Wire. It's a beautiful Tuesday morning.
Of course.
We're out here recording this podcast for y'all. So... Yeah, what do we got today, Kurt?
We're back. So today we'll be talking about Teyana Taylor's new album, as well as all of the good music albums as a whole in this past month. And then for the ankle break side of things, we'll be talking about the NBA awards, MVP, all that, as well as a quick recap of the draft. You know, we'll just go over it briefly, and we'll wrap things up with our... what's it called?
Release Radar. And Under the Radar.
Yep, and Under the Radar. And we'll start things off with Slap or Skip, where we just review the newest singles of the week. Let's get into things. So, if you're new, I say this every week.
If you're new, dot, dot, dot.
I forgive you. But Slap or Skip is where we take the hottest singles of the week and we give it a slap, you know, if it bumps in the whip, you know, you're trying to put it in your playlist. And then if it's, you know, not as good to our ears,
You're not feeling it.
And I don't want to be rude. I don't want to say it's trash because it's not trash, but it's just not for
it's
us.
Skippable.
Then it's skippable.
Yeah.
So let's get into things. First, we got Meek Mill, Stay Woke. What'd you think of this one, Trevor?
This is a slap. I love this song. First time I heard it was this morning, actually, and it's good. I really like it. It's kind of a different style for Meek Mill, I think. It's a little more reflective, a little bit more lyrical than maybe he usually is. And I like that he touches on a lot of different subjects on it, too. He kind of goes a little J. Cole on us and talks about the, you know, new generation of rappers and you know, how they kind of all need to chill out with the lean and stuff. And he acknowledges that he did that, too. But he's just saying, like, you know, you got to be careful out here. The beat's great. It's like a modern boom bap beat, but it's really good. Slap, absolutely.
Yeah, I'll give it a slap for most of the same reasons you said. I like the fact that Meek is kind of building off of what could be a negative, you know, going to jail. And now he's trying to make it a positive by, you know, spitting game to the youth as well as, you know, just the whole rap community. So I'm going to give it a slap for that reason. Next, we got Jaden Smith, Ghost. What do you think of this one, Trevor?
This one's a meh for me. I like the beat. It's kind of like a simple trap beat. Kind of there's just like distorted flute, distorted guitar in the background that kind of drives the whole song. Very soft, distorted 808, but the lyrics are nothing special. His flow's kind of boring. He's pretty monotonous throughout the whole thing. But you know, if it's on in the background, it's not that bad. So it's okay.
Yeah, I wanted to give it a slap based on the beat. Like it's not anything special trap beat, but it's so enjoyable. But his delivery is just so kind of meh. Like he doesn't seem to care about the song, so why should I?
Yeah, there's so energy.
So I'm gonna also give it a meh.
No energy.
Next we got Black, his new single Switch.
Six Lack
for all you idiots out there. Switch, what'd you think of this one, Trevor?
So I know I'm a stan for this guy, but I'm giving this a super slap. This song bumps. I love the direction he's taken. You know, it's still like that same very airy, spacey vibe that he's always on. It's a little bit more upbeat. He gives you a little more bars on this one, but I love this song. And if this is any preview for his album, then I'm all for it.
So the reason I'm laughing is because like I gotta give it a skip, and it's rare that we disagree on songs on here,
and
it's
okay.
Yeah,
that's okay.
That's perfectly okay because
you're your own person.
Yeah, we're our own human beings as well as like we want you guys to listen to these songs too and form your own opinions. We're just giving you know our thoughts on them, but I personally I'm giving it a skip not because it's a bad song. It's just like it's nothing necessarily new from Black for me. It's that same kind of you know moody R&B. The instrumental for me was. It was kind of sleepy to me. I feel like it could have been. I don't want to say better. Just maybe
energetic.
I was looking for something else from him. Just because I know what to expect from him at this point, and you can't just be a one trick pony. So, in my opinion, it's a skip.
And that's okay.
Next we got Rich the Kid featuring Gucci Mane, YG, and 2 Chainz. The Plug Walk remix. What'd you think of it?
So I'm gonna give this a meh. Plug Walk is honestly one of my favorite songs of the year.
Yeah.
But this he puts a new verse in it, Rich the Kid. And I think I like the old verse better. I think I like his other verses better. Gucci Mane, he has a pretty good verse, but it's very short. YG, Blood Walk, Love that part. 2 Chainz is a fire verse as well. But, you know, it's okay. It's nothing special for me.
Yeah, it's for me, it's either... I'll give it a slap in the regard that it's not necessarily anything inherently new about the remix. It's a remix. Right. But now you got a bunch of other rappers that are better rappers than Rich the Kid on exactly. that beat. And I can't complain about that. So, like... I'm not a Rich the Kid hater. I know for the past couple of podcasts, I feel like I've always talked smack about
Rich
the Kid.
He's a closeted Rich the Kid hater.
No, because like if you look at my on my phone, I have like 7 songs downloaded from that album. But at the same time, I know Rich the Kid for what he is.
And like, there's 11 songs missing out of there that you're not saving to your phone.
True.
So.
It's like it's the fact that I just think most of his songs like
sound the same.
Yeah, or his performance is the same.
Right.
It's not necessarily it sounds the same because it's the instrumentals that make different. It's the instrumentals that make different songs special for him. Like I don't get what's necessarily inherently like special about Rich the Kid himself. But next we got and after all that, I'll still give it a slap just because it's got all these other rappers on the Plug Walk beat, which is a great beat. Next we got Tory Lanez featuring Rich the Kid again. Talk to me. What'd you think of this one, Trevor?
So I'm gonna give it a slap. The Rich the Kid verse is pretty mediocre, but I like Tory Lanez on it. He sounds really good. The beat's super bouncy. It's kind of I'm getting a lot of party vibes from this. Mm-hmm. I'll definitely play this in the whip. Nothing out of the. I wouldn't say it's anything extraordinary.
Yeah,
but it's good. I like it. Definitely a slap.
I'll give it a meh. Like, I only listened to this song once, so like, you can take my opinion with a grain of salt. But, like, I just wasn't too moved. It's not necessarily a bad performance from either artist, in my opinion. It's, but it's not necessarily a good one either. It's just like, yeah, if it's on, it's on. But I wouldn't put it on. Next, we got Trippy Red and XXXTentacion featuring Quavo and Ski Mask the Slump God, Ghostbusters. What'd you think of this one, Trevor?
So, I'm not really feeling this track. I gotta skip it. There's not really much in terms of energy. I do like Quavo's verse. I will say that. I think he sounds pretty good on the beat, but the beat's pretty simple. Doesn't really change all that much. The hook's kind of boring from Trippy Red. I'm skipping it.
I'm giving it a meh. So I actually like the instrumental. It's like, it's very overwhelming. It's like, or intoxicating is probably a better word.
Wow.
Where it's just like, there's a lot of sounds going on and it could definitely, you know, drown you out. But I enjoy the instrumental for that reason. But Trippy Red's hook, as you said, is boring. X's verse on this, like, just like kind of like those super weird inflections while he's rapping, which that was just his style. So, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of how he was rapping on this verse. Ski Mask the Slump God, you know, he's got some great flow on it. It's the typical Ski Mask where he's, you know, referencing, you know, cartoons and stuff. So take it for what it is. It's not necessarily bad. It's definitely a bop. Like if I heard it at a party, I wouldn't complain, but it's also, you know, kind of mind numbing. So for that reason, I'm going to give it a meh. All
right.
Last, we got Tyler, the Creator. Another YouTube track. What did he remix on this one? The song is called Gelato.
No Validation by Jaquice.
Yeah.
So off his new album.
So what did you think of this one, Trevor?
So, like with every Lucy he's put out, I'm just going to keep giving it like a meh. Like borderline slap, I guess. But more of a meh just because, you know, he's giving you bars like he always does, but it's just like one verse.
Yeah.
So it's nothing special. I like that he just keeps pumping out music and then he keeps it fresh for all his fans.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate that. He seems to be taking this rap thing a little bit more seriously since Flower Boy, which I really like.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
it's all right, though.
If you're a Tyler fan, like this is probably just great for you to just keep hearing these YouTube tracks. But for me, it's like it's not something that – and I enjoy Tyler. I just wouldn't consider myself enough of a fan where I'm going out of my way like I need new Tyler.
Yeah.
I don't. So like, I don't really go on YouTube that much for music just because the whole, you know, trying to play it. So in the 2 times I've heard it, I thought it was okay. So I'll give it a meh again. But – we'll move on to our main segment of the 808 side of things. So we're talking good music. Teyana Taylor just dropped her album KTSE, produced by Kanye West. The last album of this good five album
summer
rollout.
Yeah, for good music.
So we'll start by just talking about what we thought of that album, and then we'll get into this whole rollout as a whole.
Yeah.
So what'd you think of this KTSE, Trevor?
Sonically, I thought it was really impressive. Initially, I don't think you could tell that it was produced by Kanye, because he does sample a lot. But what's really iconic about his sampling is how he uses vocal samples, and he uses those like as the hook. And you don't really get that until I think the 3rd track in, or maybe the 2nd. I think it's the 2nd track.
I know
actually.
Roses in Harlem uses a sample. I can't think of another
sample. Oh, Gonna Love Me. That's the other. Yeah, that's the other sample he uses. But I really like how consistent this project is. It's really, you know, through and through, the sound is really good. Subject matter. She gets into a lot about, you know, relationships and love. A
lot of sex.
Yeah, a lot of sex. Especially, like, three-way, bro. Like, that song is legitimately about having a three-way.
Yeah.
Like, and it gets a little graphic, I guess. Yeah. It's like some 50 Shades of Grey shit for a little bit. But, I mean, I don't know Teyana Taylor like that. Maybe that's what she does. But, hey.
Hey, her and Amon popping,
exactly.
Clearly.
Yeah, Amon, bro. He's trying to get in the rap game or music game.
He's been rapping for a few, or at least he's dropped like songs for a few years.
Damn. Okay, Shump. Well, maybe he's a better rapper than he is a basketball player, but.
Yeah, he's pretty mediocre. Right now, at least.
I don't know if mediocre's enough, bro. I think he's pretty terrible. You know, I think you're giving him too much credit, but besides the point, this is a good album. It's solid. I really like it overall. And she does change it up towards the end. She gets into, you know, a couple different things. Especially Rose in Harlem. That might be the standout track for me.
Yeah,
I agree. Just because it totally switches up the whole sound and energy of the project. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's really good. I like this. I like this album.
I'm going to go as far. I'm going to start just by forcing it. But I think this is the best album of all the good music albums.
Wow.
Take my opinion for what it's worth.
I'm really shocked by that.
Like, I also admit, like, I'm a sucker for, you know, women in R&B, so that's always going to get me. Like, SZA's album last year got me. This album did. I really only listened to this one 3 times, but in the 3 times I listened, I saved every song. I really like the intro comes in strong. The intro. It
does. No manners.
Yeah, no manners. 1 second.
I got a man, but no manners.
Yeah, No Manners, love that song, as well as Issues, Hold On. That was another one that really stuck to me. Then Rose in Harlem, that was kind of like the switch from, you know, this R&B, as well as like there's some acoustic guitars earlier. And, it switches to, it's almost got like a trap influence on it. It's got a little bounce to it. She gets a little more aggressive on the beat. Then the bonus track, because this is the only album in the Good Music rollout that had 8 songs. The last song, WTP, work that. That song, it got like an instrumental similar to Kanye West's Fade, and she just sounds perfect on it, in my opinion. It's definitely like a club song.
Yeah, I was gonna say that.
Definitely, I could imagine her performing that one live. Like, that was probably insane.
Yeah.
So overall, I love this album. But do we have anything else we want to say about this album specifically?
I'll just say that it's personally not like my favorite of all of them, but I'm honestly shocked that it's your favorite of all of them. It's really good. I will say that it's really good, and I was definitely impressed by it. But
I just I think the combination of Kanye making R&B beats that are all, I think all of the instrumentals in this are pretty flawless, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I love all of them, and I think her performance is great. And like, she has the advantage of the fact that she's a singer versus a rapper. So it's like, while I'm listening to these rappers, like, it can get stale. Like, for me, listening to Pusha T rap about, you know, drugs over and over again, it gets
fair
stale.
Enough.
Even though he's very good at it. Like, no one does it better than Pusha T, but it just gets stale. But when you can do all these different things with your voice, with melodies, harmonies, it's hard to compete with sometimes.
Exactly.
So for me, that's why I think this is probably my favorite good music release, which gets into our next topic, where we're going to rank the 5 good music projects.
Yeah.
So, do you want to go first?
Yeah, I guess I'll go first. I was thinking about this, and it's really hard for me to rank these because they're all so different, like sonically and, you know, in terms of the substance and what they get into. But I would say for me, you already know what my number one is. If you've been following us, you know that I've been preaching this album.
Daytona is an instant classic.
It is an instant classic.
Which, like, I just, it's not even that I
have.
You can get back to it. I just want to go on a quick tangent about instant classics. It's not that I disagree with you. It's the fact that I feel like you can't label something a classic when it first came out.
Fair
enough. Because then, like, what happened in 10 years? You know how many people have said stuff has been a classic this year? We got to wait 10 years and see.
Fair enough.
That's all it is.
Okay. But, I get that, but still.
It's an instant classic.
Hey, but yeah. But for me, it is. But so Daytona is my number one.
Yeah.
My two, I would have to say KSG. KSG is my number two.
Okay.
I just love the sound of that. And it's really grown on me the past couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so refreshing and so new. And I really just have enjoyed listening to it. Number three, I'd have to say KTSE is my third favorite. And then Nasir is probably my fourth, because Nasir, for me, it was good initially. I think it just, I don't think it has much of a replay value, in my opinion.
It really has no
replay value. Like, I listened to it, like, the first week it came out, and I haven't really listened to it since. Like, I've gone back to songs. I've been like, oh, I want to listen to Cop Shot the Kid, or I want to listen to Adam and Eve. But overall, I haven't really just gone back and been like, I want to listen to the album. So that's for it. And then last for me is Ye. Just because I feel like Ye, while it is really personal, it's the most incomplete project, which is fine. And, you know, I just don't think it's nearly as impressive as the other ones, which is, it's really hard to follow up the other, even though it was the second release, right? Yeah. Or first, second behind Pusha. But yeah, so that's my list. So yeah.
We got a pretty similar ranking, except for the fact, like, you already know, KTSE is definitely my number one, just for the fact that it's got eight good, really good songs. So even if every other album I considered like perfect, this has eight tracks. And I like all eight tracks. So that's one more than every other album has. So I like all eight songs for, you already heard my reasons before. My number two is Daytona as well. Mm-hmm. Then Kid See Ghost. Daytona, you know, while I don't say it's a classic, I think it's the best rapper to producer, you know, combo of all the other albums, because, you know, Teyana Taylor's not a rapper. I think, you know, Pusha T's definitely, he's the closest to his rap prime right now. Like, Kanye's definitely not in his rap prime. Nas is like, it's not that Nas is bad, it's just like, I feel like he's become kind of outdated with his style of rap. Like, he feels so slow on Nasir. So like that's really my main issue with that. Mm-hmm. So after Daytona, then we got Kid See Ghost. I think this is the most, that album has the most creative production of all of them. So that's why it's my third. But while the production is great, I think the rapping could have been, you know,
a little better. Yeah.
It's still enjoyable though. That's why it's my third favorite. I love Reborn on that. Even Ghost Town Part 2, I enjoy. Fire. I like a couple songs on that album.
Right.
Then after that, I guess I have Nasir over Ye. But both of those I'm not too thrilled about. Nasir, it's like, I love the production on it, but I think it outshines Nas, because I just think Nas is just, he's too slow on it, really. Yeah. That's my only issue.
I feel like he's just, you know, and it happens to every good artist. Like, I think he's just lost his touch, like his storytelling ability. It's just it's not the same as it was like back in the 90s. Yeah. So.
And it's like, I don't think he's necessarily doing anything that's where it's like he's worse at rapping than he was 10 years ago. It's just music moves on.
Yeah, the times have changed.
So naturally, like, for a 19-year-old like me that grew up listening to like Lil Wayne and all these other guys, when I hear Nas rapping in 2018, he just sounds slow to me.
Exactly.
That's just really all it is.
Yeah.
And then last is Ye, just because while it's not that the production is bad, I just feel like it's... I think he gave his best production to everybody else. I think the production is kind of like, almost like, it sounds like, I don't want to say throwaways, but where it's taking from, you know, his previous work and not creating anything innovative. Like, you could compare some of the beats to like Graduation, how they have a little soul influence in them, but it's just, they're none of the instrumentals, I feel like, are on that level as any of his previous albums, as well as any of these other albums. So that's why it's last for me. Plus, I feel like Kanye tried to just grab headlines and put them into the verses and not actually dress anything. Like,
exactly.
So that's why I have that as last, but that's just my opinion. Feel free to tweet at us your rankings of the five good music rollout
albums. We'll put out a poll. See what the people think. If you haven't listened to them yet, please do. Please do, for your own sake. It's been a good summer for good music. So,
well, that's going to be our last question, if how successful this has been. But before we do that, I also came up with this kind of last minute, but I was thinking we're going to take the 36 total songs, and we're going to kind of, wait, no.
Whatever.
Yeah. Well, we can edit that part out. I'm just trying to make sure I get the exact number. I don't know why. So seven times four is 28.
Well, because there's five.
Yeah.
And then there's seven on each. 35 plus one.
Yeah, so 36. It should be 36. Okay, so we're going to take the 36 songs that have been released in this past month via Good Music, and we're going to kind of make our own personal seven-song album from it.
Yeah.
So you want to do this where we trade off? Like, we'll go, like, our first picks for our albums, and then...
Yeah.
Yeah, so what's your first pick?
So my first pick in the Good Music album draft is If You Know You Know by Pusha T.
Oh, wait, also, are we going to do it where we can't have the same songs on it, or...
No. Oh, okay, yeah, that, no, no, no. We're not going to do that because that would be hard because yeah. we're going to have the same songs, I feel like. But, true. So If You Know You Know is my first one. I feel like for an intro track that just comes in with so much energy and so much brass.
Right.
And it's just so powerful. Like, the instrumental is just so energetic, so bouncy. Pusha T's, you know, like, I'm this huge drug dealer. Like, you know, this Ring of Oz, all this Ring of Oz, a fraternity yeah. of drug dealers ringing off. I love that bar. And he's just, he's, you know, what's the word I'm trying to say? Cementing his legitimacy in selling dope.
Yeah.
And in the rap game, as he right. usually does. But I feel like for an intro track, that's just so much energy at once. And yeah, that's my first pick.
We actually have the same first pick.
Yeah.
Because If You Know, You Know, between that and No Manners, those are probably my two favorite intros of all of these albums. I think, yeah, Pusha T just comes in. Like, you already celebrated it enough. I don't have a whole lot to add to it.
Yeah.
Besides, like, the Pink Floyd line. Love that line.
That's a... Dude, rock the whole... Rockstar,
like, the Pink Floyd.
The
like,
wrist on that boy, yeah. Rockstar, like yeah. Pink Floyd.
Fire line. So, that's going to be my first pick. Second pick, we'll do Snake. So, I'll go second
okay.
pick. So, second pick would be No Manners. While it's also an intro track, I still feel like I would put it as
Red.
One of my seven favorite songs in this past month from Good Music. Just a overall great song. Like, I don't really know how really else to explain it. It's a very, like, kind of more low-key track. Mm. You know, it's not necessarily a whole lot of energy because it's R&B, but Teyana Taylor's just smooth on it.
She is.
Very smooth.
The whole project is smooth.
Very smooth.
Just, yeah. So, my second pick, I tried to build my album, I guess, like sonically, like in terms of like going from energy to energy, subject. So,
yeah.
My second song is Infrared by Pusha okay. T. So, I know we said we would pick one song, but like to fill up a 7-song album, you know, you got to pick two from some of them. So, Infrared's my second. This is a statement song from Pusha T.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's throwing those subs at Drake before he did the Carnage on Story of Added On.
Yeah.
But Adidon, is that how it's pronounced?
Doesn't matter.
Whatever.
Drake doesn't even announce his son's name, so why are we trying to figure it out?
Fair enough. But, you know, this is, you know, the beat doesn't have, like, too much energy, but it's still very, it's, like, dark and gritty for what Push is talking about. So, that's my second track.
Okay.
And then for my third one, Fire off of KSG. Love the bounce on that.
Yeah.
And I love Cudi's vocals on that, too. And I love how Kanye comes in with this verse, too. He's like, I love all your shit. Talking,
yeah,
like, and then he kind of just builds up, and then it goes into his verse. So, but I just really love the bounce on that, I love the sound on that, and I think it would be a nice transition from Infrared into that because then it would kind of change up my album's sound, I guess, right. Very well. But yeah,
I was definitely sleeping on that track, Fire.
Yeah,
like, when I first heard it, I wasn't feeling it, just I think it was the rapping I wasn't a fan uh-huh. of on it. But looking back on it, that beat is crazy.
It
it's
is.
Got like a little rock influence too. It's got like a cow, like I don't like a Western vibe.
Western, yeah.
Definitely got a Western vibe, so I really rock with that track. But my third would be Reborn, mm-hmm. also from Kid C Ghost. It's the most Kid Cudi song out of all of these Good Music releases, pretty much. Very, very Man on the Moonish. I just love the aura that it gives off, so that's mm-hmm. why it's my third track. Fourth, I follow it up with a also kind of Cudi-ish song, Ghost Town, Part 1, not Part 2.
Okay.
Part 1, honestly, you could argue this is the best song that's been released out of all of the Good mm-hmm. Music tracks. I think it might be my favorite one.
So powerful.
I love that song,
yeah.
Mostly for 070 Shake. She kills it, so that's why it's going to be my fourth song. But what's your fourth, Trevor?
So my fourth is Adam and Eve off of Nasir. And like I said, I was just, you know, I wanted to pick one song from each album and then pick like two bonus ones. But yeah. This is my favorite song off of Nasir. Sonically, very impressive. And for me, it's my favorite song on the album. But, and then my fifth is Rose in Harlem. And because I love that song. I love that Teyana Taylor's making a statement on that song. And it's a nice switch up from the rest of the album. Not that the rest of the album isn't good, but because it's very good. But I just love how she goes from, you know, talking about love and sex and relationships into just like, this is me, I'm in this bitch. Like,
yeah.
You know, look out because people are going to come for you. And I love the beat on it. Production's great. So that's my fifth song.
My fifth song is Issues Hold On, Teyana Taylor. I think this is pretty much like as close to a perfect R&B track you can get.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about relationships and talking about kind of issues in the relationships as the title shows.
Right.
And the beat Kanye puts on it. I believe it's the track with the acoustic guitar on it. bear with me, I've only listened to this album three times. So the songs are kind of blending right now, but that was definitely one of my favorite tracks, so I had to include that.
I love
that.
The perspective on that track. Like, yeah. It's both sides, right. Too. Like, she tells a story from the guy's side and her side, yeah. Too. So that, yeah, I really like that track overall,
ideal
too.
R&B song.
Yeah.
And then I'd follow that up with Everything. It's my one Nas pick. If I'm being honest, it's my pity Nas pick, because I really, I actually made my track list 8 songs because I included an additional Teyana Taylor song because her album's 8 songs. So this Nas pick really was just in there so I could say that I had Nas on this. Like, Everything is probably my favorite song on Nasir, but even this song doesn't really, you know, wow me compared to all the other tracks here. It's long. I will warn you, it's a long track, but, you know, Kanye and The Dream do their thing on it with the hook. Great sound. And then Nas's 2 verses are definitely kind of, you know, inspirational. They kind of talk about, you know, black empowerment, stuff like that. Classic Nas. So I'll include that on there.
Cool. So my 6 is Reborn off of KSG. Easily my favorite track off of KSG. Like you said, it sounds like vintage Kid Cudi, some man on the moon stuff. It's such a powerful song. Love the message. The message is great. It's just, you know, you just got to keep moving forward. You know, get through all this shit. I mean, he says it like 100 times, but, you know, just get through all that shit, because you're gonna be fine. You're gonna be reborn.
Yeah, you got that classic Cudi hum in it too, so that's something else to look out for.
And then my last song leading into from Reborn into this song is Wouldn't Leave off of Ye. This is my favorite song off of Ye. I love how personal this song is, and I feel like it would tie up my project pretty nicely. It's just like, you know, even though I did all this shit, even though I got, you know, I had all these problems, like, the people closest to you still wouldn't leave, and they want to stick with you. And I think it's one of Kanye's most personal songs, because he opens up a lot about his relationship with Kim, and I love the song, I love the sound on it, and yeah, that's my good music album, so...
Yeah, so my 7th track was Rose in Harlem, which, if you notice, that's my 3rd Teyana Taylor track on this. And then I added a bonus just because, like, I love this Teyana Taylor album, I'm not going to lie. So the bonus was WTP, because that's kind of the bonus on Teyana Taylor's album. I already described the song earlier, and we already described Rose in Harlem. So, yeah, that's my album. I didn't put as much thought into it chronologically as Trevor did. Trevor, I'll definitely give you the credit of it going, like, like, you know,
just energy. Yeah, and then
you definitely put some thought into it. I was just like, what are my 7 favorite tracks? And I added an 8th just because I didn't want to be rude and not have Nasir in it.
Right. the pity track. But that's okay, though.
My last question for this good music, you know, album rollout is, would you say this was a successful, you know, marketing plan? You know, put out 5 straight albums from your label.
Absolutely. I think so. And because it's obviously different than, you know, building up all this hype for your album that's like months away, in the sense that, you know, you just keep your name out there. Like, everybody's like, and I never felt once like there was oversaturation, because all these albums are so different and they're all different artists for the most part. Like, it's Kanye and then Kanye and Kid Cudi, and then Kanye has some of, you know, has a verse here and there. But I love that they just rolled these out week after week, and it, like, it kind of surprised me, because I would be like, oh, shit, there's a new good music album this week. And you would just forget about it. And then this new album would come out, and it would create a little bit of a buzz. But I think what also helped, too, is that all these albums were either pretty good or great, in my opinion, at least. And like I said, they're all so different sonically. And I never felt once that I was, like, overwhelmed by the amount of music that was coming out, which is weird to say. You know, nowadays, especially after last year, too, because Gucci was putting out a project like every month. And I was like, oh, this is too much Gucci Mane. But what I think would also help, too, is the brevity of each album. You know, only 7 songs. Like, you can listen to that in like a half hour, and you could just keep listening to it on repeat. Like, that's what I did with Daytona. That's what I did with KSG. And, like, honestly, all these albums, you just keep listening to them because they're so short and they're so enjoyable. So I definitely think it was a successful strategy, just to, you know, keep your name out there. And I think when people look back on this summer, yeah, they're going to think of Drake, they're going to think of Scorpion, but at the same time, you're going to be like, wow, Kanye popped up a lot. Good music popped up a lot. So
my thing is, I'm not sure if you know, Kanye pops up a lot because of these 5 albums. I think it's more, you know,
the controversy
that came with these albums. Like, I think, you know, Pusha T's album, it shines because it's definitely a good album. But you take away Infrared and this whole Drake beef, I don't know how well it's really remembered. True. Like, if you're a true hip-hop fan, I think you're going to remember it. But I've heard people say they didn't know who Pusha T was before this, which is just, like, blasphemy.
That's just disrespectful.
But whatever.
I feel like you're trolling if you say that.
No, though. I mean, there are people... Yeah. I could see that, though. Like, if you're not a true hip-hop fan...
One of my boys said
fan,
that, and I was like, what? Never heard of Pusha T?
Like, if you're not... If you weren't listening to Clips, which, like, if I'm being real, I wasn't listening to Clips. I discovered, you know, Pusha T before I discovered Clips, and then I went back and listened to Clips, and I was like, oh, yeah, that song with, like, the... Where you're banging on the lockers and stuff, that's a Clips song. Like, I didn't know that was Clips. But... So Pusha T's album without Drake and the whole beef, I don't know how remembered that would be. Then you got Ye's album where he's pulling all these headlines to kind of draw you in a way. But like, if you think about it, like Nas's album, I feel like that was the most overshadowed.
Oh, absolutely.
Also for the fact that it was
absolutely
on the same week Jay and Beyonce dropped their album. So like that
so
definitely
overlooked.
Definitely took a toll from that. Right. But it's also the fact that it was at that point their fourth album. The fourth good music album released, so it was kind of just like, I think, while you said there was no oversaturation, I think there was to a point. Instead of, you know, putting out one 20-song album, they put out, you know, 36 songs in a month. So it's still like, even when you put out 36 songs, there's still going to be songs you forget, even if you spread it out. Like, I understand that you gave it a week's time, but I felt like each release, like once it came out, you immediately forgot about the last one.
Right.
Like Kids See Ghosts, I haven't even really gone back to at all, just because I've been keeping up with the new ones.
I guess it's just different for me personally, because I will keep going back to them just because. But I definitely get, like, 36 songs is a lot in retrospect, but... I think why I said there's no oversaturation is just because they're all so different.
Oh, yeah, they definitely
are. Yeah, they're all so
different.
I get
what
you're saying. Yeah, and the Pusha T beef, I thought initially that when Drake dropped the Duppy freestyle, I really thought, like, oh, man, like, this is totally going to overshadow Daytona, and, like, everyone's going to forget about it. But then Pusha T kind of, like, overshadowed himself with the diss track.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so people, like, so I would agree with you that people kind of just forgot about Daytona. Because I'm already seeing tweets. People are like, oh, like, we already forgot about Pusha T's album. Like, can't wait for Scorpion. But, I mean, it is what it is. Pusha T kind of outdid himself in a sense. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I definitely agree with you. And then Kanye, he did obviously grab a lot of headlines. So that's a good point, too, where maybe he wouldn't have created as much of a buzz if he hadn't said he said.
Naturally, since it's Kanye, it's going to always draw a buzz.
Yeah.
And he's kind of always done this where there's been controversy that erupts with the albums
that's
released. Like with Taylor Swift, he was beefing with her. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we heard the rest of the album, Life of Pablo, and we're like, wow, this is, I guess it's good.
You know what I mean?
So I just feel, it's not necessarily I think these projects were bad or anything. I just don't know if it was the most successful strategy to have your entire label's gonna drop all your albums in 5 consecutive weeks.
Right.
Instead of, you know, maybe spreading them out, like, what if you did one a month?
Mm-hmm.
That's just an idea. But also I get it because there were 7 songs, maybe.
Yeah.
I get the concept behind it. I just don't know if it was the best execution.
Yeah. All right. I get that.
Yeah. So I think we're gonna wrap our 808s talk with that, I guess.
Yeah.
And we'll go on to our ankle break side of things.
All right, guys, so you know what time it is? It's ankle breaks time. It's the off season. I think we're finally in full swing with the off season, you know? Everybody's forgot about the finals. NBA awards, those were last night, so we'll recap those real quick for you. So the award winners, most valuable player, James Harden. I think everybody expected that, kind of.
Yeah.
He had an outstanding season, though. Led the league in scoring. I think he averaged like 8 rebounds, 8 assists, something like that, close to a triple-double. And then we got Coach of the Year, Dwayne Casey. Kind of bittersweet. But then Sixth Man of the Year, Lou Will. Defensive Player of the Year, Rudy Gobert. And Most Improved Player, Victor Oladipo. And last but not least, Ben Simmons won Rookie of the Year. So, let's get into it. I think Rudy Gobert was the most surprising one. I thought Anthony Davis for sure had Depoy locked up. But I shouldn't say I'm surprised, because Rudy Gobert is definitely a great defensive player, and he's been in the running the whole season. I think he just doesn't have the same star power and draw as Anthony Davis
has.
This
reminds me of, I want to say, 2013. 2013 or 2014. No, 2013, where I thought LeBron was going to win Defensive Player of the Year in the Heat, mm-hmm. and then it went to Marc Gasol.
Right.
And not necessarily because, you know, Marc Gasol isn't a good defender, but you wouldn't think of his name because, as you said, with the star power.
Right.
And I think it's the same thing with Rudy Gobert. The Jazz were one of the best defenses in the league this year. And
yeah.
They showed that in the playoffs against the Thunder as well.
Absolutely.
That they are an effective defense, and it starts with Rudy Gobert. But naturally, you want to levitate towards Anthony Davis because you think, you know, he should get as many accolades as possible.
Yeah.
And if he's not winning MVP, you think he'd get defensive player with how many blocks he was getting per game. But Rudy Gobert held it down.
He really did. Yeah, he was really the core of that Jazz defense. And obviously one of the best rim protectors in the league.
Yeah.
Gets blocks like it's his job.
Right.
Well, kind of is. But and then I guess Rookie of the Year wasn't a surprise. I was disappointed, though. I really think Donovan Mitchell should have won. But then again, you can't deny that Ben Simmons had an outstanding season, you know, despite all the, oh, he's not a real rookie. Like, he had a full year to develop and whatnot. But, I mean, this dude was getting triple-doubles like it was nobody's job. And he was really, like, I would say that the offense, the Sixers offense, really ran through him. Like, he was making plays for everybody, and he still can't shoot, which, you know, he's going to learn how to have to. But he's definitely the core of that offense, and, you know, he's the leader on the floor for that team in terms offensively.
Yeah. I mean, you could also say that for Mitchell. I think.
Yeah, well, he led the Jazz in scoring, I think.
Yeah. I think either decision wouldn't have been a bad decision. So
right.
I'm perfectly content with Simmons being Rookie of the Year. I will say, like, obviously this included playoffs. Simmons is out of the conversation.
Tatum would have won.
It's Tatum or Mitchell. Because Mitchell, even though Mitchell went out in the second round, he still had himself a phenomenal stretch.
He did.
I think he had like six straight 20-point games or something like that. So, you know, you can't really deny someone with that much of an offensive firepower as well as he carried his offense more than, you know, Tatum had.
Oh, absolutely.
Like Tatum is a phenomenal player, and he's fit into the Celtics system very well, but you can't say everything's on him.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Everything was on Mitchell. Everything was on Simmons. So that's why, you know, Tatum obviously wasn't considered at all.
Right. I'm glad he was a finalist.
Yeah.
And that would have been amazing if he won, but
the thing is, he could probably, or I'm not going to say probably, he could easily end up being the best player from this draft.
Oh, I absolutely agree. Yeah, but I really think he has the potential to do that.
Yeah. Definitely, you know, a little disappointed, you know, a Laker couldn't pull home Rookie of the Year, but I also know that they didn't deserve it more than any of the other rookies, so.
Kuz got off to a hot start, though. I think he really made a case at the beginning of the season.
And Lonzo had a great second half of the year.
He did.
No one talks about.
What happened to Lonzo was, there was too much hype, got to his head, and then, you know, once everybody kind of forgot about Lonzo, that's when he started playing.
It wasn't even that the hype got to his head, it was the fact that he was a target.
Yeah.
He was just a target because
of
his dad.
Bro, like the first game, Patrick Beverley was all up in his business, bro. Like,
Patrick Beverley is like a video game, like first boss battle. Like,
yeah, really is.
He's like, obviously you're not gonna face him in the last level, but like in the first, your first boss battle, it's Patrick Beverley. It's gonna be hard. But, like, you know, you don't
nearly have, like, the right gear to fight him. You don't have the skills leveled up yet. Like, you're, like, level 10. This dude's, like, level 30. They're, like, 25 because he's not even that high of a level yet. But, you know, it's going to be a challenge for you because he's the first boss.
Yeah. So, like, I remember that as well as, like, you know, John Wall was like, oh, I'm going to cook him. And then, like, John Wall had, like, 18 and 10, I think. And then Lonzo had, like, a near triple-double where he only had, like, 6 points, but he had, like, 10 assists and 8 boards. So, it's like, he was dealing with that all year, pretty much. So the first half of the season, he had to deal with that. Then he got hurt right when he was starting to heat up with, like, three-point shooting. But regardless, we don't really need to get into too much of that. So we'll move into Coach of the Year. I know you're a Celtics fan, so we can talk about how Brad Stevens was snubbed.
He absolutely was snubbed. And I wouldn't say Dwayne Casey didn't deserve it because he led to the Raptors to their best season in franchise history.
They got fired.
But at the same time, this dude lost to LeBron James again. And he didn't implement the three-point shot into his offense for like 5 years. And it was too late. Like, you had so many opportunities. I don't care. Like, you said it. Like, well, his players weren't playing that well. But if you're a coach, if you're a good coach, you figure it out.
Yeah.
After 4 seasons, you got to figure it out.
Right.
You got to know how to stop this guy.
See, I think what's most frustrating about these awards, the fact that they do it after the playoffs, is we have dialogue like this,
exactly,
as well as what we did with the Rookie of the Year, where you're going to immediately look at the playoffs and be like, I don't know if they really are as good as we thought.
That's what I'm saying.
So, like, I think, the one, in general, the NBA Awards should just be the night after the regular season.
I agree with you.
Because it just doesn't make sense, because now we're having dialogue like this where we bring up playoff stuff.
It's it's a money grab. The NBA Awards are a way for them to make money. Yeah, and, like,
keep the NBA relevant. That's all it is,
yeah.
But, yeah, I agree. I think Brad Stevens, he lost his first and second best player. Like, there's not much else you need to say.
Yeah, and they were still a second player. They were second in the East. And they made it to the Eastern Game 7. They pushed LeBron to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Right.
But a lot of the times, Coach of the Year, what it comes down to is just who has the best record. Exactly. Which is kind of lazy.
So lazy. Because
you could argue, you know, Quinn Snyder also deserved it with the Jazz. Right. It's kind of taking a team that just lost their best player, replacing them with a phenomenal rookie.
Yeah.
But, you know, getting them into the playoffs, like, they definitely deserve some more credit than they got. But... that's just how it goes.
Like, I mean, maybe not this year, but Eric Spoelstra, I always feel like, is one of the best coaches in the league. And he's always, no matter what he's handled with the Heat,
sometimes he'll pull nothing from something. Like, he's got a bunch of, like, young guys that are, like, scrappy, but you wouldn't consider anybody on that team a star.
Exactly.
So he definitely deserves some credit that he didn't get. But I would say if anyone should have won it, it's Brad Stevens.
Absolutely.
It is what it is. You could even argue Greg Popovich. He didn't have Kawhi all year, but, like, you can argue that. He's like LeBron. You could argue that every year.
Yeah.
So
yeah, definitely. And then MVP,
James Harden.
I think he needed to win, just because, like, the last three seasons he's just got dealt a bad hand. You know, he had a phenomenal season the first year Curry won it, but, like, Curry shattered the 3-point record. Like, there's not much you can do about that. Mm-hmm. And then Westbrook just. He was unreal last year with the triple-double record and averaging a triple-double, where there were just years James Harden shined where you really couldn't give it to anybody else but Westbrook and Curry.
Yeah.
And I feel like this was his year where he was like, where the NBA was like, okay, like, we got to give it to him. But
I mean, he took it. He took
it. Yeah, he really,
like,
did.
His team won 66 games. His numbers were just as phenomenal as they were a year ago, just with more wins. It's hard to really not give it to him this year. I understand, you know, LeBron had, you know, two different rosters and he had ridiculous numbers. And LeBron is LeBron. LeBron is going to be candidate every year.
That's what I'm saying.
And I think this is probably one of LeBron's best years in the NBA.
Absolutely.
But
he played all 82 games.
Yeah, he did. But at the same time, you got to look at, like,
wins.
Yeah, wins as well as, you know, the performance of your team. Like, they had a lot of losing streaks. Wasn't brought up. The first half of the season, they were pretty bad. And even in the second half of the season, where they were better with the new improved roster, they still were in, like, you know, they went in these pockets of
they
losing.
They still weren't much better than the first team.
The Rockets never really had any, you know, downslides. Like, they never had, I don't think they lost.
Even when Chris Paul was, even when, even when Chris Paul was out, James Harden still went off.
Yeah.
He still had, like he had that career game, that 60-point triple-double against the Magic. Like, it was against the Magic, but still, like, he's able to produce on his own. Not saying he doesn't need Chris Paul, because Chris Paul was a great addition to the Rockets, but, you know, people are saying, oh, LeBron deserved it. Like, yeah, I guess, but the Cavs didn't win. They didn't win as much as the Rockets did, and I think LeBron was definitely more valuable to the Cavaliers, but James Harden just had one of those years. He averaged 30.4 points a game, like 8 assists, 8 rebounds, and he was just consistently good all year. And I think the real moment he won MVP is when he dropped Wesley Johnson. I really think that was, like, the defining moment, when he dropped him and then stared him down for, like, 3 seconds.
Spoiler play of the year.
Yeah.
But, oh, yeah, so this kind of brings up the fact that Harden just won MVP, brings up the dialogue about, you know, OKC, and the fact that they now, their big three they had 4 years ago, now
all of them have won MVPs.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They all won MVPs, and then you had Serge Ibaka, and that's always going to go as one of the NBA's greatest what ifs, where it's like, you know, why did you let James Harden go? And then following that 2 years later, you end up losing Ibaka, then you lose KD, like, you lost all those guys, so... So one of the biggest what ifs, probably going to be a 30 for 30 in 20 years.
Yep.
Crazy.
So the NBA draft, I think it went for the most part how people expected. So first pick overall was DeAndre Ayton, center from Arizona. He had an unreal season. He was like 21 points, 11 rebounds a game. And then second pick was Marvin Bagley III from Duke. Very similar numbers. I don't think as much of an enforcer as Ayton is, but... And then at 3, the Hawks picked Luka Doncic, but they traded the rights to the Mavs, who drafted Trae Young at 5. So then 4 was Jared Jackson Jr. But We won't go through the whole list, yeah, but
just stop at six.
Six, and then six was Mohamed Bamba.
Yeah. Oh, you skipped five though. Oh yeah,
I said Trae five. Trae Young at five. Then Mo Bamba at six. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll stop there, and we'll just kind of try and go over things. So, the Mavs Hawks trade. I'll start by saying this, guys. I'm not a college basketball watcher.
Yeah.
Don't be mad at me. Like I gotta write a lot of stuff about music as well as, you know, I watch a lot of NBA, so I don't have a lot of time to watch college basketball. We were originally trying to have a guest that could talk with us about college basketball a little bit more today. He couldn't come through. It's all good though. But I just want to preface that before we get into things. But you know, my first question for you, Trevor, is who do you think won the Mavs Hawks trade?
I really think the Mavericks won it.
They gave up a pick too, though. I think it's the Heat's first round.
Right. I still think I don't trust Trae Young. I feel like if anybody's going to be a bust, yeah, it's going to be him, because he was really shaky towards the end of the season.
Trae Young can either be Steph Curry or Jrue Fredette.
Yeah, like exactly.
When you're relying on a dude that's like, what is he, 6'1", I believe.
Yeah,
I don't even think he's 6'2".
He's got range. He definitely has crazy range, but you know, you look at the first half of his season compared to the second half, and like Oklahoma barely made the tournament. Yeah. Like I don't even think they should have made the tournament. Like they lost like 10 of their last 11 or something like that. And Trae Young during that whole stretch was still leading the team, but he wasn't doing nearly enough to keep, you know, to keep them up and keep them in the runnings, and you know, they ended up losing. And I think it showed there. It showed that I don't think he really has that star power that a lot of people are giving him credit for. And, you know, Luka Doncic, he's from the EuroLeague, but he seems legit. Like, yeah. He was the MVP in the EuroLeague. And I, you know, was watching some clips before the draft started. And he's definitely got game. He's got a real nice jump shot. He's really tall. He's like 6'8", 6'9", I think. He's just a big dude. The only thing is he doesn't look that athletic. So he's just kind of a stocky. Right.
Well, when you got skill, you don't really have to worry about athleticism as much. I was reading this article, I think it was by Kevin O'Connor on The Ringer, and he was talking about how Doncic has had like the closest thing to NBA experience without being in the NBA just by being in the EuroLeague. Like that's the best talent you're going to get at age 18 or 19, however old he is. So I think he's definitely the most poised.
Yes.
And it's probably he's ready to win now. As well as in the future, he could be a franchise player.
Absolutely. He's gonna be the next Dirk, maybe, for the Mavs.
With Trae Young, he's definitely, you know, a what-if case scenario. Right. But you also have... They drafted two other shooters. I forget the
Hawks did?
Yeah, the Hawks.
Devontae Graham
and,
from Kansas. Yeah. Yeah, he was a good shooter, too.
Yeah, and he's also a playmaker a little bit, too. So, you know, they can play off-ball with each other. So we'll see how well that
helps. Yeah, and then they drafted Amari Spellman. He's a center, though. But they got him... from the Rockets, or hold on, maybe the Rockets drafted him, and then whatever. I'm not gonna go find it. But the Hawks, obviously, they're trying to build their shooting repertoire a little bit because they're obviously in rebuild mode.
Right.
But I don't know if Trae Young's gonna be the right guy for them. If I were them, I would have hung on to Luka Doncic.
It's risky, but like I can tell they're trying to build like a Golden State mold.
Yeah.
So like if it works out, it's going to be great.
Absolutely.
But if you get like the C-plus version of Golden State, then that's not
going to work. Then you just have a bunch of like average shooters and a bunch of small. You're going to have a small team. Like they're already a small team. And we'll see how it plays out for him. But Trae Young, I feel like he's not going to live up to those expectations. I hope I'm wrong. I do. But I feel like Luka Doncic was the better pick in this case, or would have been the better pick for the Hawks.
Who would you say is the steal of the draft?
So I'm going to go with the Celtics here. Robert Williams, who he's a center from Texas A&M. Great rebounder, great defender. Doesn't really have the offensive poise just yet, but I think he has a lot of potential. He was a lottery. He was lottery level talent.
I heard
going into
his work ethic is like the one thing, you know, that's a negative against him.
Right. Yeah. That's one question about him is his work ethic and his effort. Mm-hmm. A lot of people were questioning that, but Woj was saying too that he said he was the steal of the draft, which I'm not going to base my opinion just off Woj, but I trust Woj with my life. I really do. Bro, like when has Woj ever disappointed you? Except when he dropped the Kevin Durant trade. or the Kevin Durant signing on us.
Yeah, I mean, he's right most of the time with, like, his, you know,
Woj bombs. Yeah. So I feel like the Celtics really got a good player in Robert Williams. After doing some research, I think he's going to be a great fit to the Brad Stevens system. But obviously the question is how much effort he's going to put in. So we'll see.
Right. I said my steal of the draft, which, I mean, how is he really a steal when it's the sixth pick?
But right.
Mo Bamba, I know I'm really basing this off of seeing some YouTube videos of this man shooting threes, but, like,
he looks like Joel.
He looks like Joel with handle, with more handle. Yeah. Because Joel does have nice handle for a big man. With more handle, with a three-point shot.
Right.
So, like, maybe this YouTube gassed him, but he looks like he could be the franchise for Orlando. Like, he really could be a transcendent big man if you really give him space to develop. And I think Orlando is just the perfect landing spot for him.
Right.
I think, like you saw this with Giannis, where you just send him to a team that doesn't get that much, you know, media attention or anything. You just get time to ball.
Right,
like,
no
one's pressuring you. Like, if he went to New York, be terrible for him.
Yeah.
Or if he went to L.A., it's not necessarily terrible, but, like, you know what I mean? Like, that, so you got the lights
on you. That's a big fan base, and, you know, the name's obviously attached with you. Yeah, that, like, if you're playing for the Knicks, or, like you said, the Lakers, or even the Celtics, like, your name is going to carry some weight already just because of the clout that those teams have. So, like, this is the Orlando Magic.
Yeah, no one's tuning into the Magic.
Exactly. And no one. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think it's a great fit for him to grow and develop. You know, and Orlando's already a really young team. So I think it's a good spot for him as well. And
he'll be practicing against Nikola Vucevic every day.
Yeah.
So it's like he's playing against a good NBA player every day. And then eventually the Magic could try and flip Vucevic with the playoff team for something else, maybe draft pick something.
Yeah.
Or a better like guard or something like that. You never know. So I think this is definitely the best spot for Mo Bamba to really become a star. So we'll see if it comes into fruition.
I agree with you. Another steal I will say is I've always been on the fence with this guy just because there was a lot of hype surrounding him, and then he got injured, didn't play the whole season. But Michael Porter Jr. dropped really, like, I wouldn't say really low, but he dropped lower than I expected into the draft because the Nuggets picked him up, I think, with the 14th pick.
Isn't he the guy that's injured?
He was injured. So, but he's like that, I don't even know how tall he is. He's like 6'10", 6'11", but he's huge. He's a great shooter, great athlete. Yeah. But he might miss this season, too. So he might be a what-if player, too, but a lot of people think he's going to be a steal because he dropped so low, and he could end up being a great player and a great companion to Jokic also because, you know, Jokic, he's about to sign that huge deal with the Nuggets, and they could have potentially two great players and be a really solid team either this year or two or 3 years
Paul
down the road.
Paul Millsap is also pretty good.
Oh, I forgot about him because he was injured all season. Yeah. But, yeah, Paul Millsap.
Plus, he's like 29 at least by now, so he's getting up there.
But yeah, so I think the Nuggets, they could have a really solid team if Porter stays healthy and he lives up to his hype. I guess
even without Porter, they could easily be a playoff team this year.
They almost made it this year. They had that crazy playoff game. It was literally like a wild card game with the Timberwolves, I think, for that eight spot.
So we'll see how things shake up. And I guess lastly, you know, Lakers fan, me, and then we got Celtics fan, Trevor. I guess we'll talk about how we feel about
Well, I already talked about personally. Robert Williams, so you can.
So we got Mo Wagner.
Mo Wagner. So, Moritz Wagner.
One, I will say I was working during the draft, so I didn't see the draft. So when I heard, you know, we drafted Mo, I was like, oh, we got that Mo Bamba, huh? I don't know if you guys have heard that song, Mo Bamba, but look it up. Great song. So I was hyped. And then I realized it was Mo Wagner, some German guy.
some German guy.
So as me being the guy that doesn't watch college basketball, I'm like, Mo Wagner, who is this? Who's like, look him up. And the first comparison I see is he's compared to Frank Kaminsky. So how was I feeling? I wasn't necessarily mad. And I do this every year. Anytime like the Lakers draft somebody, I try to look positive. I was thinking, I was like, oh, he can shoot threes, you know. Maybe it would be good if we sign LeBron like a Kevin Love type. Like a dude that can sit in the corner.
Right.
But if I'm being honest with you, I have no expectations for this guy at all. That's how I'll end things.
So, but I'll also say, Kerm, I wouldn't get too disappointed because, you know, the Lakers could potentially have a huge free agency summer. So we'll see how it plays out. But that, I think, will wrap up ankle breaks.
Yeah.
So going to release radar. Do we even have to say it? Everybody knows what's coming out this Friday.
Do you know?
Yeah.
Do you?
If you don't, I don't. What the f*** are you doing? What are you doing? Where are you? Are you living under a rock? Are you a rock person?
Or you're just, you're like me, and you know, Pusha T's diss tracks make you look at them a little differently.
Oh, so, well, I mean, yeah, I
feel. But you still, you know what's coming.
Yeah. So, Scorpion, Drake, this Friday, you know, the boy.
If you know, you know.
And then, that's really kind of it.
Yeah.
For Release Radar.
We're not even gonna. We're not gonna get into it. So next week we're obviously gonna be talking about Scorpion. I think we'll also bring back, you know, the segment that we did with the ranking the good music albums. I think we'll do that with Drake.
With Drake's
projects.
Albums.
We're gonna try and make that a more common thing where we're just ranking stuff. Unless unless you guys have a problem with it, you know, DM us, tweet at us.
Say
you
sucks
at @AnkleBreaks_ABreaks if you're hating on it. Just
bro,
let
this
us know.
Is garbage. Just let us know. We take criticism well, so you know you won't hurt our feelings. I promise.
Yeah. And lastly, we got our Under the Radar, where we just talk about what we've been listening to during the week, and we'll let you guys go.
Yeah. So I'll start off, I guess. I've kind of been just pre-gaming this Drake album, just listening to his old stuff. Not really More Life or Views, because I really don't consider that old stuff, because both of those came out in the span of 2 years. But, like, you know, Take Care, Nothing Was the Same. If you're reading this, it's too late. Just stuff I want in Scorpion. Like, I really hope it's a lot like If You're Reading This, It's Too Late, where it's just, you know, hard Drake, just trap Drake. You know, he's in this bitch, he's in the game, and you know who he is, but he's still gonna flex on you. So I just hope he talks his shit on this album, and I hope he does it well, because I'm upset he kind of does that, but that's a garbage song. I'm not gonna lie, that's a pretty garbage single.
Definitely a flop.
And then Nice For What's just, that's a bop. It's a summer vibe. So that's what I've been listening to. It's just Drake.
Yeah. So I was supposed to have like articles like out. They're not out yet. They're coming. Sorry, Drew. Sorry, Mega Tunes. If you guys hear this. But so I've been listening to a lot of XXXTentacion, who actually has like the number one song right now. I think Changes is the number one song on the Billboard charts right now. So I've been listening to a lot of that. Some mostly SoundCloud stuff, as well as a lot of JID, just because I'm also writing an article on him, as well as the other XXL freshmen. So be on the lookout for those articles, because they will come out. But yeah, so that's all I've really been listening to. You got anything else to say, Trevor?
I don't think so.
Well, make sure you follow us on Twitter.
That's episode 12.
Yes, it is. 808_ABreaks, @JKerma98.
@TrevorWilsonOG. You know what it is.
Oh, yeah, also, we also got playlists. So for our hypothetical good music albums, we're going to put those up as playlists on Apple and Spotify, as well as our Slap or Skip playlist. And look out for our Slaps Only playlist, which we're going to be doing at the end of every month, where it's kind of a roundup of all the hottest tracks.
It's like 25 to 30 tracks, right?
Yeah,
just our favorite singles of the week. And it's going to be from albums, too, not just straight singles.
Best tracks of the month. So be on the lookout for that. That will be on our Twitter. So, you know, if you don't get it yet, follow us.
Please.
But, yeah, that's just about it. So have a good week, guys.